this morning. Hope that is our desires that we might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of our life and then into eternity, throughout eternity. I'd like to look, if you want to follow along, over in Malachi, the very last book in the Old Testament. And then I'd like to look at the last two chapters of Malachi, 3 and 4. Some very special verses here. Malachi, the third chapter, and start with the very first verse. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. And he shall set as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, as in former years. I will come near to you to judgment. I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, and against false swearers, and against those that oppress the hirelings in his wages, and the widow, and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me. Now herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord, yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God, and what profit is it that we have kept his ordinances, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness are set up, yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, that they thought upon, and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. In that day when I make up my jewels, I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. I think we'll stop right there. Let's just bow our heads for prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, this morning we come before the throne of grace with thankful hearts for what thou hast done for each one of us. We thank thee for the great plan of salvation that has been laid out for each one of us personally, that we can be partakers of the grace of God, and that by thy grace and by thy help that we can walk before thee circumspectly and carefully and look forward to that last great day when thou shalt call those who are thine out from this evil world and take us to the higher places. We pray that thou would be with us now this morning. We pray that thou would speak to each one of our hearts. Help us, dear Father, to have open hearts and yielded hearts to the Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offer in righteousness. I believe he's laying out before us some things that should be an encouragement to for each one of us to press upward, press onward, and to walk humbly before our God. He speaks about that great day of the Lord, the great day of his coming, and how that he is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. I believe he wants to get each one of us ready for that day so that our robes will be white, washed in the blood of the Lamb, and clean before him. He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And the scripture speaks about that in verse 5 when he says that I will come near to you in judgment. I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers, against false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling, his wages, and the widow and the fatherless that turn aside the stranger from his right. And fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. And I think that is one thing that we can notice in this chapter. This is speaking about people that have rejected God. This is speaking about those. He speaks of the sorcerers and the adulterers and the false swearers. The sorcerers, those that are dabbling in satanic type things, those that are dabbling in the occult. But it even comes closer to home when people do things that are questionable, when they know they're questionable. Dabbling in things, playing with sin, playing with fire. If you play with fire, you are going to get burned. And you play with sin, it will burn you too, but it'll burn not for just a little while, but for a long time. And he said, they're a group of people. In other words, they don't care about one another. They don't care about the one that is hurting. In this scripture, he speaks about the one that is the widow and the fatherless. And he said, they turn aside the stranger from his right, and they fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. They're blatant in what they do. They go about what they're doing without even thinking about the spiritual things, about the righteous things, the requirements that God has for each one of us. And he says, they fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. That is probably one of the most serious situations that people can find themselves in when they come to the place that they don't fear God anymore. When it doesn't scare them, when the Lord is dealing with people, when the Lord is dealing with them, and they can sit there without batting an eye, without any fear of God, then they're in a terrifically dangerous place. Hopefully none of us ever come to that point where we do not fear God Because he says in verse 6, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." And he begs them in verse 7. He begs them to return to him. And he said, "I will return unto you." But we said, "Wherewith?" He said, "Wherewith shall we return?" This group acted like they had nothing to return from. What do they need to repent about? What do they need to return for? The Lord says, "If you return to me, I will return to you." But they said, "We don't have anything to return about." And so you might say it's a hopeless case as long as a person doesn't admit where they were. I remember one time in a meeting, and God was speaking, the preacher was preaching, he was dealing with me terrifically, and I knew I wasn't where I should be spiritually. And the invitation was given, and I stood back there, and I thought, "I'm not going to fool myself and God any longer. I'm going to get right with God." And I took my suit coat off and laid it on the bench and headed for the front where the people knelt for prayer. You know, when we come to that place where the scripture says in the New Testament, I forget who it was that said, "He prayeth," then he's in a good place. When someone is seeking God, when they realize their need, and when they acknowledge it. If you acknowledge your need, you can get help. But if you say, "I don't have any need, there's nothing wrong with me, I'm as good as anyone else, I do a lot better than a lot of other people," then we stand like the Pharisee and say, "I'm not like this publican, I'm not like him, I do this and this and this and this." And you go away from the place with your self-esteem and your pride and all that you have, but you don't have God. But oh, if we can come to the place where we humble ourselves down before God and we realize, "Oh, Father, what a sinner I am, how lost I am, how I need God." If we realize that's our condition and we can just acknowledge it before God, God wants to help every one of us if we acknowledge our need. They had robbed God. They had robbed God, he said, in their tithes and their offerings. And he said, "Just bring your tithes and your offerings into the storehouse and prove me to see if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there won't even be room enough to receive it." He said, "I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he will not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts." So what he's saying right here is, wherever your need is, if you will acknowledge that need, and if you'll take care of it, just see, prove me, and see if I won't open the windows of heaven out and just pour out the blessings upon you where you can't even contain it. If you will just do your part, God will do his part. And that's for every one of us today in all of our many, many needs. We could go down the list, down the rows, and each one of us could tell what our needs are. And we all have many, many needs, but our God is great enough to take care of every single need that we have this morning. Do you believe that? I believe that. Sometimes we may think our faith is a little bit weak and we cannot hardly grasp the promises of God. But I remember here just recently somebody was talking about the one that has a little faith. If we have a little faith and we exercise that little faith, it will give us victory over the enemy, and he can't take us. If we just continue to press forward and to believe God and exercise the faith that God has given us. Some people have come to the place that they say in verse 14, It's vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we keep his ordinances and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And he says, and now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work with wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Sometimes you look at people and you think, well, they've got everything going their way. And they're not even living for the Lord. They're just blossoming forth the Green Bay tree. They're wealthy and looked up with high esteem from all the world around. And yet, oh, if you and I could see their hearts and see their feelings and realize their lost feeling, their emptiness, and all those things that make them, they can pat one another on the back in their big social realms and and talk about each other, how does success this one's made, what is success that one's made. But it does not satisfy the soul. It does not satisfy the deepest longing of a man. But I can tell you what will satisfy the soul, and that is if you and I can maintain our daily fellowship with the Lord in the place of prayer, in the closet of prayer, if we can learn to shut the doors. Sometimes it's hard to do. About the time you shut the door, the devil tries to push it open and make the phone ring. Somebody comes or a thought from about something else comes in. But shut the doors and close the doors tight and lock them where nobody can get in and address your thoughts to the Lord. Lift your heart to the Lord and ask him to come down and to melt you and to make you what you need to be. Help you to be humble and lowly and right in the sight of God. And then you can find satisfaction for your soul that will truly satisfy. Something that money can't buy. Something that all the world can't satisfy. But God satisfies the soul that humbles themselves before him and acknowledges his greatness and seeks for his special help. God will satisfy that soul. Then I'd like for you particularly to notice some of my very favorite verses are verses 16 and 17. And it says, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. They that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. Did you ever sit down with a close friend or someone that you felt real spiritual fellowship with? And you talked about the things of the Lord, and you talked about the situations in your life and their life and how God has answered prayer here and what he's doing there. And your hearts burned together as you talked together and as you fellowshipped around the things of God. And you just were encouraged so much by being able to have fellowship with godly people. Now I tell you, if you have something that's real and you have a heart that's clean, then your fellowship will be with those people that love God. And it will hurt you when people take the name of the Lord in vain. It will hurt you when they talk lightly about spiritual things. When they make jokes and expect you to laugh. You really have nothing to laugh about when they're talking about things that are holy and things that are righteous. People tell dirty jokes. They talk in filthy ways. Their mouth is in the gutter and their life is in the gutter. Their heart's in the gutter. And they're ending up to not just land in the gutter, but it's a place much deeper than that for the one that talks lightly about the things of God. That was one thing that my parents always impressed upon us, that when we're worshiping God, we're to be reverent. We're not to be chewing gum. We're not to be passing notes. We're not to be doing things that would be irreverent. We're supposed to be reverent to the Almighty God. It's not just that a parent can't see, and so I'm slipping by with it. Nonsense. We're not slipping by with anything with God because he sees everything we're doing. He hears everything we think. He knows all about us. And if we think we're fooling God, we're fooling ourselves. May the Lord help us today to seek for a closer walk with him. They that fear the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. That's what I love so much is if we talk about the Lord, heaven is taking note of what our conversation is about. God is taking note of what we like. What is really what we like, and what are our goals really in life? Is it to try to push ourselves up a little higher and we push somebody else down to get up to gain ground? Are we willing to lose ground to help somebody else and forget ourselves and put ourselves in the background and seek God first that we might have the very best? And then it says, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. That feared the Lord and thought upon his name. On the one side you have the sorcerers and the adulterers and the false swearers and all that wicked crowd. And it said, they feared not me. And they're headed straight for eternity without God. On the other side, you have the ones that fear the Lord and thought upon his name. And you're in a spirit of prayer, an atmosphere of prayer. And as you give yourself entirely to God, he said there's a book of remembrance being written for those that fear the Lord and thought on his name. Just think, not one thing that we've done or said is forgotten with God. He knows it all. It's all written down. And what a wonderful sight it's going to be when we come to the end of our way. And it says in verse 17, and they shall be... they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. Wouldn't that be something for you if you leave this world and stand before the throne of God? And God says, he or she is mine. They're mine. I purchased them with my own precious blood. And they've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. They hate the world and love God with all their heart. They're mine. Bring them on in. And he said, they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. In that day when I make up my jewels, I will spare them as a man spareth his own son. That serveth me. I tell you, I don't know about you. This world has nothing to offer that would be worth losing my soul over. I want a closer walk with God. I want to walk closely and carefully. I don't want to try to cut the corners. I don't want to try to ride the fence. I don't want to try to be a borderliner. I want to be all out for God. Everything on the altar. A sacrifice laid. Let's kneel in prayer.